Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live on a beautiful Monday morning. We're live here inside the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports main build facility. It is Monday morning, Bub. Great day. How you doing today, man?
Doing good so far.
How was your weekend, Bub?
Painting away, dude.
You are painting away. You're painting a brand new Challenger back there that was involved in a front-end collision.
Yep.
How's your day today, man?
So far, so good, man. Just moving through it and getting stuff done. That's
all. How was the weekend?
Slow. Yeah,
a lot of good stuff.
Nothing crazy.
Right on. I hope everybody out there had a great weekend as well. We're going to come with you to you with a little bit different format this time. It's going to be more car related and technically bound with a little less of the personal backside behind it. It's kind of the new change we're putting forth here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, Bub.
Okay.
Right? This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. For the finest in boutique apparel, it is Miss Outlaw Boutique. That's MS Outlaw Boutique at 1200 Town Center Drive, Suite 108. The girls are killing it over there. Check out the new line of apparel that is arriving from the Las Vegas Magic Show this week, correct, Bub?
Really good stuff, man.
561-660-6695. The beautiful and talented Miss Outlaw. How about that? Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach, the Guinness World Record holding largest Cars and Coffee event. We will be there Sunday from 9 to 12 with the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports race team, Bub.
This is a cute looking little scout behind you.
And Steena Motorsport Autosports. Steena Autosports joined us all live the other day on Saturday's very successful podcast, Bub. They were, their president was with us, Glenn was with us, the guys out in Valdosta, Georgia were with us live. It was a great show, man.
Yeah, man, we had a lot of fun doing the stuff with Steena. We have so many different things going on here at the BM headquarters right now. Everything from the client rides to the personal stuff we've got going on to the SEMA build that's going on for the Turbonetics booth that's this October 31st going through November 4th out in Las Vegas, Nevada. So we've got a lot of stuff going on to get that car ready to go. All the products have pretty much arrived now. We've got a couple left, and man, it's going to be insane, dude.
It's getting crazy, Bub. It is that time of the year for us, though. It's the time when things come out. But we're going to talk a little bit about custom upholstery done Bubba style using this beautiful Scout that you're bringing down the road to completion. We had, Bub, this Scout had a white interior in it, which we can see is very worn, and it is very cloth-like. It's very thin. It was a very cheap build. We can see the sofa that they used in here was very thin. Larry Williams will appreciate this out there above at Surfside. I mean, and we can see this is just cheap cloth, white, that shows everything from a dirt perspective.
Pretty bad, actually.
It was pretty bad, Bob. It was pretty bad. We also had the original seat frames here, Bob. This is kind of what the seat frames look like with a wood base that somebody had cut and put together on it. Let's step through this piece first, Bub.
Yeah, man. So as you can see, this thing's been through a lot of years right here. This is probably what? This is 66. So yeah, what? 51 years right now, right? Something like that. I'll tell you what, man. This thing's been through a lot of work. A lot of people have sat in these seats. I guarantee you, man. You don't know what else is going on in these seats. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I'll tell you what. Probably not too much going on in that back seat.
Too. Yeah.
It's pretty little. But you're going to go through, and right now you've got the actual wood base bottom, the springs themselves, all of the actual hog rings that mount everything together. Then what you're going to do is layer this thing with a jute foam on top. This is actually going to get hog ring to it, so your foam and all your materials don't pull through. This is going to give you a nice strong base to it as well. Then you're going to actually layer the seat. Now, this is just from a safety standpoint so that none of your materials get damaged. Then you're gonna go ahead and layer that with your actual seat foaming. In this case, we're actually using a 2-inch hard foam, so it's a very, very nice pliable foam that is very comfortable. This is actually gonna be, the entire outline of this is going to be the template that Greg has designed for the new pleats that you see in the seats, all of the way the stitch design is done. Once he's got these pieces laid out, as you can see, Greg is very step-by-step in the way he does his work.
Yes.
So he strips it down, he's got his pieces ready. He goes through and he literally templates every component off of his design that he makes. So he has, like this one, for example, would be that top bar that you're seeing on the rear seat there. This is gonna be your top bar for the upright. This one is actually gonna be your pleats that are gonna mount to that top bar as well, running vertically, top and bottom. Those two will also get stitched together, and you guys can't really see it here, but there's actually marks that Greg puts on everything he does to line all of these notches up with every line so everything falls perfectly into place. So every seam, every stitch, every joint, every connection lines up dead on beautifully. Not only from the panel design of the seat, but also from a stitch design from the tops to the bottoms. So your backrest to your bottoms, everything lines up perfectly centered, as you can see on this bench seat as well, laying on the bed or the tailgate of the truck. So your top lines literally run right into your bottom lines. It just lays out absolutely perfect.
So Bob, one of the things that we talk about is consistency and the ability to line things up properly. Let's show people what that is and what does that bring as an end product?
Well, that's what you're looking at there. So that's, you can see the templating, the way that Greg does the design. So now all he has to do when he sits down to sew these components together is literally take each material, line up those marks that he's done probably 2, 3, and 4 times just to check them, confirm them, double check them. Then he makes sure everything is perfectly in line. Then when he sits down at that sewing machine, he rolls right through it and everything's spot on when it's done. And what you get is an end result that falls out like this. So you have every vertical line, whether it be a single stitch, whether it be a top sew, whether it be a French seam, everything as you come down that line lines up perfectly with its next set of lines, and it just is a perfect job in the end.
So we can take, for example, this seat cover and show people what that end product will look like. We can see that the stitching is absolutely straight on. It's part of the quality of what Greg brings forth. We can see all of his corners are well-rounded. Everything is beautifully done here. The inside of the seat is that seat cover is just as beautiful as the outside, as we can see here. Everything is stitched beautifully. So when this is slid on, it gives a nice, tight fit and finish. And this is the UV-resistant, high-grade, heavy-grain, leather-like vinyl that you're using, Bob, so it works in the South Florida beach area.
Yeah, and the other thing too that that a lot of people don't really recognize and notice is when you do these custom upholstery jobs and you're designing stuff that truly there's no template for, especially in a case like this, everything that Greg is doing, he's working off of his own personal design plus also his own skill set. You can't copy any of this. If you were to take this and just a lot of guys, like if you're doing stock replacement style seating, maybe just changing inserts from like leather or perforated to a suede, you can literally just cut the thread out of every one of these. You'll have a perfect template and you can mark them, sew them back in with your new materials and line everything back up and it comes out flawlessly. Not the case with this one. This one is no template. You wouldn't want to copy this, right?
Correct.
Being a dick, you just wouldn't want to copy this.
Well, part of what we do here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports is we always take things to the next level. Okay, so this seat cover fails by comparison at every level when you compare it to what's being done here. Mm-hmm. It's a much different thing. But let's talk a little bit about what we have laying on the floor here, and we'll pick it up for the audience to see.
Yes,
this is.
Those are actually the seat frames. These are for the front seats. These things, as you can see, have been through, again, 50 plus years of just, moisture, weather, rock chips, all kinds of crap you could possibly imagine. Cigarette burns probably falling on these things at some point in time, right? Burning through the paint that was on them. So what we're doing now is, now that the seats are getting upholstered, we're going through and we're sanding all of these down. We're going to prime them, then we're going to paint them to the actual white of the truck, give it a nice little color match theme so it blends in really, really well. These things were kind of like a pewterish color before, like a charcoal-y satin, something weird.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really match the theme of the truck, so we're gonna go through and do the seat frame, also do the steering wheel. It's typical of an old vehicle. It's got the actual composite on the wheel itself is all cracking, so we're actually gonna go through and repair all of that and then paint that to match this as well. So everything's gonna be themed now to match and look really, really nice.
You can see here, Bob, where we've already started taking things down and making all the metal smooth again to accept a clean coat of high gloss paint,
yep,
which will match the inside of this. We're also gonna be doing, Bob, on the interior, we're gonna be doing some black carpet on the inside of this and painting the transmission tunnel as well.
Yeah, I really feel like we should probably be doing something about his rear window because that rubber's looking like it's missing about 1.5 inches of seal.
Yes, we need to do something about that for sure.
That's what I started laughing at this morning.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. I saw that gap. What is that, dude?
Yeah, that is how it was previously put together.
That's pretty bad.
We're not going to do that.
That's poor quality right there.
That's what we call poor quality.
That's pretty poor.
That's not Bubba style, is it?
No, because that factory weather strip wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't. In fact, that's not even lined up with the center. I'd line it up with the windshield or the
rear mirror. It's even worse. It's not even with the center.
Bad work, ladies and
gentlemen. Even if it's going to be missing some weather strip, at least make it center.
Exactly, Bob. How long does something like this take on the average, Bob?
Typically to do like full upholsteries like this, man, it's, if you're taking your time and you're doing it right, you're going to have just a week worth of sew time, just sitting at the machine and designing, doing templates and doing, the way all of this is patterned out, each piece. You're going to have a week's worth of time, and that's depending on the severity of the job. This is a fairly small one. It's kind of a 3-foot wide rear bench sort of thing, and two small little buckets, right? And they're all just used staple to wood. It's not like some of today's material where you're literally sewing in, like on a modern car, you're literally sewing in Velcro strips where they literally push down and attach with heavy-duty Velcro. All kinds of different things you have to worry about. So, this is going to be probably a week worth of sew production time, plus probably figure 2 days of disassembly, prepping, getting like the seat frames and stuff ready, getting those painted. So all in all, plus you've got, you know, and that's where you have to really work the organizational side, because now while this is going on, someone else at BEM could literally be stripping the floors and getting them ready for the paint department. So when we put down the undercoating, put down the mats, put down the actual carpet inlays that are going to go in there, all of that can literally be walked out of Greg's office and drop right in the car, and there's not like a delay time there. Mm-hmm. But this kind of job is, you know, easily 2-3 weeks just to do a really nice turnkey job.
It is.
It is.
I'd like to remind everybody, we are looking to add new personnel to our staff, from the paint and body side of things to the mechanical side of things. So if you'd like to join the family here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, please submit your resume to sales@BubbasExoticMotorsports.com, Bub.
Yeah.
We are looking. In fact, Casey was working on new job descriptions to post up everywhere today. Mm-hmm. We want to expand that group of people.
That's it.
Talented technicians have to no smoking, no drinking problems, no drama, have your own tools, ability to analyze.
I feel like that's a big one. What's this one with have your own tools? How come every person we get that comes through here has no tools?
It's funny, too, because you've got about $265,000 in your box between the tools and the size of that box, and everybody thinks it's kind of like a community tool chest.
Well, I worked for that sucker hard, dude.
You've been working.
It wasn't free.
No.
Man, I wish Snap-on gave it to me for free.
You got a lot of money in that, man.
Yeah.
And every one of your tools is as clean as the day it was manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
It's because
I try to keep them clean, but they get dirty.
It's funny because we had the people come in from Germany last week who sat in behind the scenes with us, watched the show, and when they saw your box, he's actually a dentist. He was blown away at how clean and pristine everything about the way you work is.
Mm-hmm.
How about that, bro?
Yep.
That's good stuff, right?
Yeah,
I know you're going to be painting the chopper here. You've already got the flames laid out on that thing. Mm-hmm. Really looks good, Bub.
Yeah, this is actually almost the exact same color that we could do the seat on that chopper with the color of the flames we're putting on it now.
That's interesting.
Just saying. But, you know, it's I got paint coming up for it right now. I actually had to switch grades, man. That PPG Vibrance that we're shooting on that thing, it's man, that paint's expensive, dude. You know, a lot of guys don't understand the cost of materials, especially in a paint job like this. This bike is literally three pieces. It's a front fender that I would say is, what, maybe 20 inches, yep. 18 yep. inches long. Gas tank, same thing, maybe 18, 20, 22 inches long. Rear fender is for a 280, so it's probably, 13 inches wide, right? You know, not much size to these components, man, but in order to buy the materials to do it, so like this PPG Vibrance color I'm using, the client picked out this morning, it was a orange blast, right? So orange blast, kind of like if you had to visualize in your head, it was from like, I'd say mid-2000s, 2004 through maybe 2008, 9 with GM. They had like, it was on their, what'd they put that on? Like the Z06 Corvettes.
Yes, you that would be correct, yeah.
I think
yeah.
they called it sunburnt orange or something,
something like that.
Maybe that was Mopar's version of it that they did on the SRTs.
I remember
it was
the
kind
name.
Of like a, it was like an orange kind of gold glow. It had a beautiful color to it, right? So this color like that from PPG is very similar, but it's a three-stage paint. So you're literally laying down a base coat, then you're laying down your tint coat, then you're laying down your clear coat on top of that. This one I called about this morning, literally the client picked. So just for a pint, like literally a pint, is $296 for one freaking pint of this stuff. So I literally was like, no, I'm going to switch, because that's absurd. You can't put, by the time you literally think, we've got, it's, I mean, we're literally shooting three stage every step, and we're already probably 14 coats into this thing. Probably more than that, I mean, I haven't even put on the flames or the striping yet. You're at 20 plus coats at all these pints, man. Before you know it, you're at $2,000 in freaking paint, and you haven't even... You haven't even finished the job, you know?
Well, people don't understand. That's why motorcycle tins are so expensive.
They're really expensive, yeah. If you want custom colors, yeah. Most people will take them off. You paint them like a black or a red, okay, fine. A couple $100 here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're shooting custom colors like this, you guys wait to see that on our Instagram. It's going to look really, really cool when it's done, man. But I literally switch because I'm not going to let the client pay for that. That's stupid. $290 for a pint of paint when typically they're in like the $100 range. I mean, that was three times the amount of what they typically cost for a pint. So I actually switched. I went to a color that's very, very close. It's still in the Vibrance line, but it just had a different base coat to it. This other one was like a silver pearl base coat that, man, it's just the colors and the additives that they put in it, crazy.
But you're also, Bubba, master of laying down different base coats than a gray so that you get a hue that pulls through mm-hmm. the next more transparent coat or color.
Yeah, I mean, those are all just guidelines, man. They're all go-tos. So you can grab the chart book and you can just flip through it and be like, I want this exact color. Or maybe sometimes each one of those, I mean, those colors look really good. They pop really strong. But granted, you're looking at something that's mass production. It's your go-to. It's just everybody can do it at any paint mixing supply house. So this, you know, in this case, like what we did, especially on like the candy red I threw down, I actually threw down a Romanesque red on top of that. So it's kind of like a red kind of gold tint hue to it. So as long as you record what you're doing, it's easy for anyone else to ever go back to fix it if they need to. Yeah. But always using like a go-to of like, hey, this is my paint code. That's the best way to go, because if you ever do get a scratch or damage, anyone can ever just go and blend right into that if they're good.
Speaking of which, the crew chief for Chip Ganassi's Formula One team, European Formula One team, called. You did a beautiful job on his BMW. He scratched the sunroof trying to get it in. He's bringing it back in for a repaint.
Stop, dude.
Yes.
Oh, come on. He could have just left it here for one of these clowns to scratch it.
Yeah, exactly.
He could have left the other BMW to scratch it up.
Scratch it up over there. Because
who cares, man?
Anyways,
man, I tell you.
Yeah, it's coming back in to have a coat of paint.
Paint's tricky, dude. It not only takes a long time to do it, but man, you got to go really slow once it's done.
Yeah.
Really slow, because you scratch that crap like that.
Well, I knew there was issues because he was looking for touch-up paint last week, and some of these things you can't just touch up. The quality of what you lay out here is absolutely stunning.
You got to take your time and do it right. I mean, even this Challenger we're shooting, I was literally, as I was shooting it, so going from the outside of these fenders on this car, you know, which is base coat, clear coat, it was like a PX8 was the coat on this car. It's just brilliant black, right? So pretty easy. No metallic flake, just black with clear. So I'm shooting the outside of the fenders, and you shoot the inside of the fender lip where, you know, when you open the hood, it's like in your jams. So you shoot the inside of that fender lip. However, you don't, in this case, like you're not going to take and re-clear that entire lip again, right? So if you did, what would happen is when somebody else opens the hood, maybe at a car show, anything, what you're going to do is look in, you're going to see this inner fender well is going to be completely clear coated, but the rest of the car that has, you know, that was from like mass production coming down the assembly line is almost like an overspray of kind of like a clear, dull, satin flat, and then it's just your blade, you know, your black paint. So I was literally, as I was shooting that fender, I was literally going out and checking the car to the other side to see how deep I need to make that clear fade to the inner fender well, just so it looks really good. So once it's put back on the car, when you open the hood, it doesn't look like, hey, obvious problem, there's been a hit on the side of the car.
Well done, Bub. That's quality and detail you put into everything here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. It doesn't matter what you touch. And ironically, now that you mention that, when I walked back into our paint facility, I was looking at it as the fender was hung. I saw where you were doing that graduation. Mm-hmm. Now I know it was very intentional. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, that was it.
Pretty cool, man.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
So we got a lot going on here at BEM, dude. I'm telling you, man. I mean, everything from grading the upholstery office. He's all over the place, too. He's not only doing upholstery.
No, he's extremely good.
He's all over the freaking paint. Body shop. So, I mean, he's been everywhere this past couple weeks. You know, we just have so much stuff going on. I mean, the cars are literally rolling out of paint now, lining up here in the main build facility. Craig's in the background doing something with, I don't know, what is it? What's he even doing on a Dodge Dakota?
Putting a steering rack in it.
Is he?
Yes.
It's going to be upside down. It'll be right-hand drive by the time.
That's exactly right. Why does this thing turn right but go left, right?
Typical Craig, man.
Sometimes it happens that way, ladies and gentlemen. So, Bob, we're going to jump out of this segment. Another great quality segment, man. Good technical information. I did have one question, Bob. Tell the folks at home and around the world, what is a hog ring? You've used that term several times.
Okay, so a hog ring is like a giant staple, essentially, only it's not meant to just go straight in, right? So a hog ring is a special set of tools. Hog ring pliers is what they're called. Kind of shaped like a U or a V. Kind of, I'm going to go with a U. U, more of a U. Mm-hmm. All right, so you have
semicircle.
This, you have this semicircle U, V, X, W without an extra
y.
sign on it. So you have this literally, it's like a heavy piece of steel, probably 1/8 inch in diameter, maybe a little smaller than that. And what you do is it comes to you that looks like just a normal old staple, right? Like you would take and just hammer it into the ground. You take this piece and you put a set of pliers around either side of it. And as you squeeze it, the natural bend that it has, of course, like the U shape, the natural bend, when you squeeze it, allows it to close in and it pinches two things together. So it's almost, man, if you had to describe it, it's almost like that thick stitch that goes through a baseball glove, right? That holds two pieces of material together, kind of like that. It's just a huge steel U-style metal ring that just squeezes together and it holds either material to a frame or foaming to the actual brackets, where you wouldn't have any other way of doing this.
What else? Join these two pieces together.
Yep. I was going to sneeze.
God bless you.
Too much clear coat. So I mean, like this case,
you've gone to snorting clear coat now?
Not snorting, I just breathe it.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't take, for example, like if you wanted to attach this to here, you're not just going to glue it on and then leave it all floppy loose, right? The glue's going to break down, it's going to move over time. You can't take thread and thread it down. That's just going to take you all freaking day. You can take hog rings, which you clamp to one side and go right down here, and you can put the other side right behind the steel wire, and you squeeze it together and it locks it in place.
Keeps it in place.
Still allows for a little flexibility if it needs to move, turn, twist, and it's not going to rip the material. Perfect and super, super strong.
And that's what we call hog rings, Bob.
That's it.
Right?
Or use.
or collapsible U's.
Or W's without the other side. Mm-hmm. That's like a W without the cut in half.
I hear Craig pulling up on one of the Harleys out there.
Probably. He's out riding around.
I'm sure he is. Yep. But that's going to do it for this edition of Doing Bubba Style. We're going to step out of here, let you get back to work. It's almost lunchtime here on the East Coast. Everybody go out there and watch that solar eclipse. If you cannot buy the quote-unquote funny glasses, those of us who remember the eclipse of 1975, and I'm not dating myself here.
It was 79, dude.
79, I'm sorry.
I just Google searched it. I was inside reading about a lunar eclipse versus a solar eclipse and what the difference was and where the moon's position, where the Earth goes and where this other thing goes.
Did you see, Bub, the eclipse that Mark Brown sent over to us today?
I did, yes, of the lunar eclipse. I saw this.
Not good, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It was one fuzzy eclipse.
Yes, it was a fuzzy eclipse, and we'll just leave it there, shall we? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, if you do want to go see the eclipse, you can do it by making what's called a pinhole camera. Google that, Bub. Pinhole camera. And you will be able to see it if you cannot get the quote-unquote funny glasses. You do not want to wear regular sunglasses. Your eyes can still be damaged from the use of the sunglasses. They don't filter out the ultraviolet rays.
I was just going to, well, first off, I have a question, number one. I was ready for that the whole episode.
Perhaps your welding helmet would work.
Yeah, it would work, but also, there we go, welding helmets would work. Yeah. So that's a good one there, but also, here's my number one.
Has anybody ever seen Bub's welding helmet? Let's show the world.
This is my number one question. If the moon is going in front of the sun, right? Now, hear me out on this for a second. If the sun is back here and it's the bright one, it's the one shining the light.
I'm not an astrology major.
And we're here. Camera's the Earth, right? So the Earth is here, and the moon's coming around this way. See, you can tell I did my study, right? So it's coming around this way. So if the moon, dark ball, blocks bright ball, where does the light come from?
Comes from around the edge.
Earth. The moon's smaller than the sun, so it's the ring around the moon.
Hey, excuse me, camera? If you guys didn't hear that one in the background.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bub's personal welding helmet, and we're showing you a piece of the side action to you. This is what Bub personally wears when he is welding and makes those very robotic welds like you see. Notice he has the ace of every card on here. I will let you see what it's physically like to see through his helmet.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, stick it right on there for the solar eclipse.
This is what it's like.
We ought to do a live solar eclipse feed with that.
Of a welding helmet right here.
We should do a live solar eclipse feed with that on. It would probably work. Then we could all watch it on our phones.
There you go.
We should do it.
We could do it.
I'm doing it.
We could. This is what it looks like. This is the actual helmet that Bub uses. And when he strikes, what do you call that, Bub? You strike what? When you get it to go?
What?
When the welding process starts.
Well, yeah, just when you start welding.
Okay, when you start welding, this actually tints itself, it automatically tints itself to a point where Bub only sees the pieces of metal, although very faintly, you have to have a very trained eye, and the vibrant blue spark, which is dulled down to nothing more than like a match. And he just follows that line through this welding helmet, and he can see. It's a very safe way to protect your eyes. I accidentally made the mistake several years ago of staring into a weld Bub was making, and it put me in the hospital for, 2 days?
Yeah, pretty stupid.
Pretty stupid. I'll never forget that. I was laying in bed, and it felt like sand was in my eyes.
Yeah.
Although not uncommon for me.
No.
Till tomorrow, Bub.
Let's keep on doing it, Bubba style.
This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. For the very finest and most special outlaw boutique apparel, it is Miss Outlaw Boutique, 561-660-6695. Visit Miss Outlaw Boutique on the web and on Facebook, Miss Outlaw Boutique. Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach, the Guinness World Record holding largest Cars and Coffee event. We will be there 9 to 12 at the Outlet Mall, exit 71, this Sunday with the race and rally team. Come see the tour bus, come see the rally team, come see it all. It's a really, really good time. And Steeda Autosports, thanks to all those guys out there, Steeda, Glenn, all those guys out there, big things are going to be coming. We've got a big conference call tomorrow. You guys may be seeing something from a race and rally perspective with Bubba's Exotic Motorsports and Steeda marrying up as well. Until tomorrow, people, let's keep on doing it Bubba style, and make sure you reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Let's add something to our list. If someone just needs an ear and they need to talk, take the time to listen twice as much as you speak. That's why you have two ears and one mouth. Everybody has a position, and you want to make sure that they're understood. Whether you agree with it or not, understand. If somebody's hands are full, open the door for them. If there's holes in the bottom of their shoes, get a pair of shoes for them. Payless is cheap. And if they're hungry, feed them. McDonald's is right around the corner. Till tomorrow, let's keep on doing it, Bubba style.